We are going to recap the results of the final Super Tuesday of the presidential primary season during this edition of The Big Question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 8th. Despite Hillary Clinton being declared the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee even before Tuesday's primaries, Bernie Sanders was vowing to stay in the race and predicted there would be a contested convention in July. And we are asking you in today's Big Question online, our online poll, how do you feel about Sanders' approach? Do you love it? Do you think he should fight to the finish? Do you want him to drop out of the race, or are you not sure? You can go online at WPR.org/joy and vote in today's online question, or you can join us on air at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Krista Jenkins, professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey and director of the FUDU Public Mind Poll. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, so Democrats in six states, California, New Jersey, Montana, New Mexico, North and South Dakota, cast their votes in this final Super Tuesday. Hillary Clinton won the big prizes, including your state of New Jersey and California. She won South Dakota. She won New Mexico. Sanders took the caucuses in North Dakota and won Montana. But Hillary Clinton now has crossed the threshold, has she not? She is now, she has enough pledged delegates to be the Democratic nominee.
He is, and I think the math really is insurmountable at this point for Bernie Sanders, and I think that's why his speech last night took many by surprise, because, as I said, it is very difficult to imagine a scenario where Hillary Clinton is not the nominee when the party convenes in Philadelphia in July.
Yeah, so what is he thinking?
I'm not sure. You know, I think obviously losing a race is always difficult for anyone. And I think that he certainly raised some interesting and some valid points that potentially would not have been discussed in this race had he not entered and galvanized so many people who were very supportive of him. I think, you know, in the coming days, we'll have to see exactly what his speech last night, you know, pretend going moving into the future. But for now, I think that it is, you know, quite a historic day to wake up and know that for the first time in 240 years, one of our major political parties has nominated a woman for the first time.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that. This is pretty monumental. Yet here I'm asking, why isn't Bernie dropping out? Is my first question. Are we not as awed by this as we should be?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I was trying to think, you know, 8 years ago when Barack Obama cinched the nomination and became the first African-American to head a major party ticket for the presidency. And I was trying to remember if a lot of the coverage was focused on that when he did that, or if it was more, I think, focused on, you know, what was Hillary Clinton going to do? Was she going to concede defeat and join him in trying to unify the party? I couldn't honestly, I couldn't remember exactly what would have happened 8 years ago. But I did think that there was a good amount of attention, I think, on Bernie Sanders, perhaps even to the detriment of the historic victory by Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Your state of New Jersey was the second biggest contest of the night, and Hillary Clinton had a huge lead going in of 20
yeah.
and a half points in the Real Clear Politics polling average. Do New Jersey voters like about Clinton so much more than Sanders?
Well, I think that to some extent what we see in New Jersey perhaps is just more a reflection of what it was looking like for her, as opposed to, you know, I think people, you know, abandoning Bernie and siding with Hillary Clinton. I don't know if we necessarily have the kind of strains of populism perhaps in the state that would have resonated with as many New Jersey voters as did in other states. You know, other states might have had larger populations of millennials, which we know certainly flocked to him. So I think there's any number of explanations for why it is that, you know, Hillary Clinton did better than Bernie Sanders. So it's kind of an open question at this point. In the polls that we did leading up to this race, we never did any, we were not polling in the primary, but we were certainly doing head-to-heads between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And as what was seen nationally, Bernie Sanders was doing better than Hillary Clinton in a matchup with Donald Trump. But again, I think that people sort of looked ahead and saw where we were inevitably going, and perhaps that's what caused the much larger, I think, than expected win for Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders last night in the state.
Yeah. The Fairleigh Dickinson University Public Mind poll, which you direct, has an A grade from Nate Silver's 538 pollster rating. So congratulations to for that.
Thank you.
And you mentioned it shows Clinton beating Donald Trump 48-37% in your state, but Sanders defeats Trump 57-33%. So Sanders would be a stronger candidate against Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's what we found in the weeks leading up to this primary election. So, you know, you have to kind of square that circle, right? How is it that she was able to do so much better than Bernie Sanders, but yet he does better in matchups? So, I mean, I think trying to understand, however, what's going on in voters' minds at this still very early stage is always very difficult. I think, you know, the campaign is really going to begin right now. And I'm not suggesting that we hit the reset button, but I do think that now that we have our two nominees, I think people are going to start paying closer attention. And the reality is that for the most part, general election campaigns are really waged for the hearts and minds of that slim sliver of the electorate who remain undecided. The people that support, you know, Hillary Clinton are going to remain that way until they cast their vote in November, and the same with Donald Trump supporters. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how these two candidates position themselves in order to win over those people who are sort of sitting on the fence at this point.
President Obama is expected to endorse Clinton anytime now. How big a deal is that going to be?
I think it's going to be, you know, a big deal because, you know, Barack Obama has, for the most part, remained on the sidelines and has not endorsed either of the two Democratic candidates. And I think that that is one of the reasons why he remains maybe one of the most powerful forces in trying to persuade Bernie Sanders to not abandon, but certainly, you know, join forces and try to unite the party in order to ensure that the Democrats, you know, prevail over Donald Trump in November. I think had Barack Obama been more open in his support of one over the other, perhaps Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, he may not have that much of a chance at trying to get Bernie Sanders to again, just kind of come together and do what Hillary Clinton did 8 years ago, which was concede defeat and unite with the party in order to, you know, win over the Democrats who were supportive of her and therefore take on Mitt Romney successfully in the fall.
I'm wondering if you have some thoughts on what did happen in California. Hillary Clinton had a narrowed lead of well, 2 points going into California, according to Real Clear Politics. But you know, AP has declared her the winner, and she had, at least with 94% of the vote in, 56% to Sanders' 43%. So what happened there?
Well, this, I think, raises questions about the difficulty of polling in primary elections. When you're polling in the primary election or any kind of election contest, the way that you do it is you try to screen out people in your sample who are not likely voters, and that is actually easier said than done. And when you're in this kind of historic environment where there's such volatility, there are, I think, greater chances for, you know, polling firms to have some misfires. It's not uncommon. It certainly shouldn't call into credibility the organization who has, not predicted the actual outcome with greater accuracy, but it is a much more difficult environment to poll in this very volatile environment.
Yeah. Do you think that the AP polling superdelegates and announcing Hillary Clinton the winner the day before the primaries influenced them at all?
Well, it could have. I mean, it's difficult to say because one of the arguments would be that by doing this on the eve of a very important primary with six states and, you know, the biggest state of all, you know, being California, that could have potentially depressed turnout as people said, well, you know, what's the point of this? You know, we know Trump's the nominee and it looks like they've already called it for Hillary, so why should I bother to go out and vote? It's difficult to guess whether or not, it's difficult to measure, of course, whether or not that actually depressed turnout in any meaningful way. But from a political science perspective, sort of donning my professor hat at this point, not my pollster hat, you know, I believe that turnout is very important and people have a responsibility and, you know, derive great benefit from taking part in our polity. And so anything that could potentially depress turnout and discourage people from taking part in our system, I think, is unfortunate.
We are recapping the election results from yesterday. And we are asking in today's big question, should Bernie Sanders drop out of the presidential race? Hillary Clinton clinched the Democratic nomination, or at least is the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party following the election results. The first woman to do so for a major party. What do you think about that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Hillary Clinton has clinched the Democratic nomination for president following the final Super Tuesday of the presidential campaign. Will Bernie Sanders fight on? Bernie Sanders, we just heard in NPR News, is vowing to fight on to Philadelphia, the convention in Philadelphia. And we are asking you in today's big question, should he? Should he fight on or should he drop out? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Krista Jenkins, a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. And let's go to our first caller, Jeff in Appleton. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, hi. You know, so much of these primary races is about momentum and that delegate count, and I believe that Bernie got railroaded. So many of the super delegates that he should have on a straight vote, he should have gotten the super delegate count. I believe Bernie should keep his candidacy going. He should go to the Democratic convention, and if the Democratic Party succeeds in taking that nomination from him, I think he should run as a third party. But I would also would have said the same thing had the Republicans succeeded in taking it away from Donald Trump, he should have run as a third party as well.
Jeff, what do you mean take it away from him?
Like I said, so much of the race is about momentum. And when Hillary keeps getting super delegates that she may not have earned on a straight count of ballots. You know, they keep bolstering her count, and in effect, you know, when she keeps gaining more and more momentum, it takes it away from Bernie. And like I said, I think Bernie got railroaded. I think this was handed to Hillary, and there was no way it was going to anybody else.
Yeah. Tell us, Professor Jenkins, does Hillary Clinton have the Democratic nomination based on superdelegates or based on pledged delegates that she received through popular votes in states?
I haven't seen the math this morning. I think last night when I was looking at the analysis, if you took away all of the superdelegates, she had not reached that threshold. However, I have not seen the final count this morning, so I can't say for certainty whether or not if you deprived her of all of the superdelegates, if she would have achieved that. But I think the point that's being raised by the caller is a good one, and that is this perception that the system is rigged or that the system is not as it seems. And I think it'll be interesting to see how both of the parties proceed, whether or not they change the nature of the game so that people who get very excited about a particular candidate don't become disenchanted with the process because of the perception that things are not as they seem.
We have Pam on Facebook who says, Sanders can help influence the party even more at the convention with the platform. Bernie has pushed Hillary left with his campaign. They will unite at the convention, I have no doubt. What do you think, Krista Jenkins?
I think that's true. I mean, you know, how the party constructs its platform is a very important statement of its principles, and it really is the only document that really, you know, conveys to voters exactly what it is you can expect from us if you give us power. And so I think that that's a very good point, that if he is able to, you know, if Barack Obama, and I think they're meeting on Thursday, is able to, you know, convince him to, you know, join forces, that he will see that a lot of the power that he wields is really in the writing of the platform and getting a lot of those principles that he brought up actually written in and enshrined in the actual document that's produced.
Yeah. And we did hear Hillary Clinton in her victory speech last night saying that Bernie Sanders' presence in this campaign has been valuable, and that the vigorous debate on the issues that he brought up, including income inequality, will go on. That changes will be made because of this.
Yes, absolutely, and I think that's what, you know, really galvanized a lot of his supporters, particularly young people. You know, one of the things that we heard routinely in research from young people is the promise that he had made to, you know, make college more affordable, if not, you know, free. And that's something that, you know, resonates very strongly with young people, and there has been such a focus, I think, in recent years on the all-important millennials and how they're sort of entering adulthood and what kind of political beliefs they have and whether or not they're going to be able to turn the tide on this trend of, you know, disengaging rather than engaging the polity. And so, if, you know, there's many things to credit Bernie Sanders for, and I think one of those is really bringing newer young voices into the polity and getting their interests addressed by the major parties.
Let's go next to Jim in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Jim.
Hi. You know, it's been rumored that the AP headline story was written days before it was released. They waited till the day before the primary to pull the rug out from under Sanders' supporters and suppress the vote in California because the laws would have been very devastating to Hillary. I think Bernie should stay in through the convention on the off chance that the FBI develops some integrity and suggests that Hillary be indicted. That's the only way we're going to have a choice between two candidates who are not in favor of perpetual war.
All right. Thanks, Jim. So a couple of different things. Jim isn't alone to think that the AP was in cahoots with the Clinton campaign with that story. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I really don't. I honestly hadn't heard that. So that's news to me. I think, like I said, from my perspective, it was more just I thought unfortunate because of the possibility that it could really just dissuade people from actually turning out to vote. And I don't think that's a very a good thing for our democracy.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton as well did encourage people to go out and vote, saying this is not a dent. I think she was a little bit worried about that too.
And I think Bernie Sanders was as well, because it was very important for him, you know, I think to do better, particularly in California, in order for him to make the case to party elites that, you know, look, this is the most diverse, this is the most, I believe it's the most populated state in the nation. And, you know, look what I was able to do. I was able to either come very close to winning or, in fact, you know, winning in that contest. So I think both of them were very concerned about what the AP call on Monday was going to do to turn out on Tuesday.
Yeah. We had a Facebook comment from a listener who was upset because, as he put it, independents in California got a provisional ballot, not a ballot that was going to be counted right away, or something along those lines, saying that as another example that Sanders supporters say the system is rigged against him. Can you talk a little bit about whether the system has been rigged against Sanders?
Sure. Again, I think that certainly, you know, the perception, one of the things that I've also heard from his campaign is that, you know, she's made the claim that she has 3 million more popular votes than Sanders. So in addition to the delegate math, there's also just the popular votes. And, you know, his campaign has pushed back and said, yes, but he did very well in caucus states and there is no official count there. And so if you were to add up the caucus supporters that he had, it would certainly shrink that 3 million voter edge that she had over him. So I think that just, like I said, it just gets to the larger issue of distrust of the system. We see this, you know, widespread cynicism, distrust, concern that government isn't working for us. And now we're even seeing it in regard to rigged elections, which is not good. So regardless of how things go in November, I do think the parties are going to have to kind of do a little bit of navel gazing and decide what it is they're going to do to potentially fix the rules so that people are not operating under the assumption that, you know, who you're voting for really has no connection to who is actually going to win the nomination.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin did pass a resolution at its convention this past weekend, pushed by Bernie Sanders supporters, to an advisory resolution that would say, let's reform the superdelegate system, mm-hmm. that the superdelegates either have to vote for the winner of the primary in your state or just get rid of them altogether. Do you see the National Party changing the superdelegate system?
Well, changes that big, I think, don't happen all that frequently. So I don't think that the superdelegates would effectively be, you know, disbanded in the coming elections. They were put there, I believe, in order to ensure that, you know, if the mass of Democratic voters end up choosing the, quote, the wrong person or the one who stands the weakest chances of winning in November, that, of course, the superdelegates could basically right that wrong and choose the proper nominee, I guess. So I don't think that they're going to completely do away with them, but I think it depends on how each state evaluates its rules and maybe changes at least the way that the superdelegates, or at least some of the superdelegates, can vote. So I do think it's an open question, but I do think that the consequences of a lot of the supporters of Bernie Sanders have certainly laid bare a lot of the concerns people have for this process. And also on the Republican side, that was one of the things that Donald Trump was frequently complaining about. It's a rigged system. And then, of course, when he wins the nomination, he stops complaining about it. And I think he even said famously, I no longer really care about this, or, you know, I'm not complaining anymore because I'm the nominee. So I think it's obvious on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. And our caller also said, you know what, we have to be worried about the FBI investigation into Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton and her emails. What if she's indicted? Your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, that's a concern. You know, if that happens, then they're going to have some major problems on their hands. I tend to think that if that was something that was going to happen, we would know by now. But at the same time, I almost feel like you know, federal investigations are kind of beyond my wheelhouse. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that at this point.
Krista Jenkins is our guest. She is a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey, director of the university's Public Mind Poll. New Jersey, of course, one of the Super Tuesday states yesterday, as well as California and others, primaries that put Hillary Clinton over the top. She is now the presumptive Democratic nominee for president. And we are asking in today's big question, should Bernie Sanders drop out or fight on? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go next to Terry in Amro. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, I think it's time for Bernie to drop out and support the party and come up with a plan or keep those millennials and Bernie supporters energized within the next 2 years so that they can get out and vote for the midterm elections. None of his policies are going to go through, or Hillary's, or any kind of a left liberal kind of a socialized ideas are going to get through Congress as it is right now. So I'm more concerned about the midterm elections in 2018.
Okay, so but you think that what kind of a plan you want Bernie to tell his supporters to get out and vote for Hillary? Is that what you
get out and vote for Hillary and then stay energized and vote in 2018?
Yeah.
Because I think Hillary will support ideas that are more liberal or more aligned with what the millennials want in 2018, but you've got to have Congress to go along with it.
Yeah. Krista Jenkins?
Oh, I think that's a great point, and I'm so glad the caller raised it. A lot of the rhetoric, you know, at the presidential level is about ideas that and promises and policies that simply are not going to happen in this environment. You know, people, I think, often forget that the president is not the chief legislator, right? All legislation has to originate in Congress. And until Congress changes, you know, either on the right or the left, none of this is really going to happen. And I think that even trickles down, of course, to state legislatures who ultimately decide how to redistrict every 10 years and create these districts that are, you know, very safe for either party. So, you know, to the caller's terrific point, you know, anyone in this race needs to also infuse in their rhetoric the importance of understanding the complexity of the U.S. government and how all of these things work together, And if you want change, it's not just changing at the top. It's also changing at the congressional level and at the state legislative level as well.
Jerry on Facebook says, for the good of the party and the nation, time for him, Bernie Sanders, to give up. Nothing wrong with his continual push of the ideals, but it's time to rally behind Hillary for the greater good. Does he really want to burn, B-E-R-N, it all down? How harmful could it be, or is it, that that Bernie Sanders is vowing to fight until the convention?
Well, I think it depends on what effect he has, of course, on his supporters. I've heard people speculate that there's going to be Bernie Sanders supporters who are so disenchanted that they say, all right, I'm just going to vote for Trump. I find that very hard to believe. There's a chasm of difference that separates the policies of Bernie Sanders from Donald Trump. So I think that the greater concern is that people who are Bernie supporters would basically just say, all right, there's really nobody in this race that I can support, and then they just choose to sit out. And again, given the appeal that he had among young people and how pivotal they have been in the past two elections on the Democratic side, that would be of some concern, obviously, for Hillary Clinton. So I think it remains to be seen exactly what his behavior, portends for November. But I do think, from the Democratic side, I think they see it certainly as important to get him on board and unite the party as quickly as possible.
Speaking of Trump, just one question. Republicans, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, have criticized Trump for his comments over this federal judge of Hispanic background who's presiding over his Trump University lawsuit. Paul Ryan said those comments were a classic textbook definition of racism. Yet Paul Ryan is still hasn't withdrawn his support yet of Trump. How much trouble is Trump in with this whole judge controversy?
I think he's in quite a bit of trouble. If you read the press accounts of how top Republicans are responding, as you point out, Paul Ryan claiming that basically that statement is the epitome of racism, essentially, and others, somebody saying that he really has two or three more weeks to right this wrong before I think the party really abandons him. I do think that he's in, quite a bit of trouble. But we've seen what's interesting about Donald Trump is, of course, we started this race with 18 people and we're down to him. And every time he said something that, seemed inflammatory, criticizing John McCain's hero credentials and making fun of the disabled and, certainly all of his disparaging comments toward women, people thought that's it, that's the end of it. He's not going to get away with this. But, here we go again with him making these statements about, calling into question the ability of a somebody born in Indiana to actually, rule effectively in a case because of some connection that he has to his Mexican heritage. We'll see exactly what happens. But at least from the perspective of the leaders, they're being very critical, but as you point out, people are not willing to withdraw their endorsement. So certainly the Republican Party is an interesting party these days in regard to how leaders are responding to their nominee.
Yeah. With just a minute before news break, you already mentioned that it was inconceivable to you that a Bernie Sanders supporter would vote for Donald Trump instead of Hillary Clinton. But what about... there are Bernie or bust people who are saying, I'm just not going to vote for Hillary Clinton no matter what. Are those people going to risk her losing to Donald Trump?
I'm sure there's some, I'm sure there's some out there who would be, I guess, okay with that. But generally speaking, I think the research is clear that, crossing over and abandoning your loyalties, in favor of somebody who is completely opposed to a lot of the principles that you hold dear is something that doesn't happen very frequently. So I think the biggest concern is not, crossover voting or, consciously, running the risk of seeing, Donald Trump, win. But I think it's more just this concern that, people are going to feel so frustrated that they sit it out. I think that's the biggest concern at this point.
Krista Jenkins is a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey, and she is director of Fairleigh Dickinson University's Public Mind Poll. And we are talking with her about yesterday's election results, Hillary Clinton clinching the Democratic presidential nomination, and Bernie Sanders saying that he is going to fight on to Philadelphia. What do you think about all this? First, the news. In today's big question, we are recapping yesterday's election results, and we are asking, should Bernie Sanders drop out of the presidential race? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Hillary Clinton clinched the Democratic presidential nomination yesterday, and even before that, Bernie Sanders was vowing to stay in the race. And we are asking in our online poll, how do you feel about Sanders' approach? Do you think that he should fight to the finish? Do you think he should drop out already? Or are you not sure what to make of it? You can vote in our online poll, which is at WPR.org/joy, or we have it linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And so far, by the way, a majority of our voters in the poll say that Bernie Sanders should fight to the finish. 37% say that he should drop out, and 7% are not sure. We'll see if that changes between now and the end of the hour. Jimmy in Valley Junction is with us now. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I would say that let Bernie go on to the and continue, but stop attacking Clinton and focus his efforts on attacking Trump and then forwarding, you know, his, I guess, more progressive message than Clinton's is, and go to the, you know, go along to the convention and give him a prominent platform in the convention to, you know, get his message out. And then of course, he should endorse Clinton in an emphatic way, and then they can move on against Trump with Clinton heading the ticket. I guess that one comment would be, any Bernie people that are thinking of not voting or voting for Trump, if the Senate stays Republican, all you have to do is look at Wisconsin to see the dangers of one-party rule in the legislative and executive branch. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to necessarily comment on Wisconsin's Republican rule, Krista Jenkins. But why don't you tell us what you think about what could happen with Bernie Sanders saying that he's going to stay in until Philadelphia?
Well, as your caller points out, I think it depends on what his strategy is. If he stays in and chooses to use his time to attack Hillary Clinton, it certainly, you know, weakens her, I think, a bit. However, if he does what the caller suggests, which is stay in but focuses, you know, his ire on Donald Trump, I think that's one way of potentially staying in while also trying to help the party in November. So I think it just depends on what his strategy is moving forward.
Yeah. Tiffany on Facebook says, I love what Sanders has done for the Democratic Party. I think that he has opened the eyes of many by his voice of change. But now we have to come together. To the people who say it is Bernie or bust, that is the type of idea that is only going to help Trump in the fall. I am not saying that Clinton is perfect, but let's face it, I feel that Trump, with his racist and demeaning ideology, is a lot worse. Any comment on that, Professor Jenkins?
No, I think, you know, her words speak for herself. She certainly reflects the views of many. But we can't forget there's plenty of people out there. I mean, look what, you know, Donald Trump did get the biggest number, I think, of votes for any Republican primary candidate in history. So there's something going on out there. And as much as there's people who connect with the sentiments of your Facebook poster, there's, many people out there who totally agree with everything Trump stands for and find him a refreshing change.
Yeah, Daniel on Facebook says about Sanders, keep on burning. This is a political movement. There is no stopping it. Help us understand this revolution. How did this 70-something senator from New Jersey get all these young people swarming at his rallies?
Yeah, well, from Vermont, not New Jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I just misspoke. Yeah,
no, sorry. It's a great question. I think that what I've tried to, you know, do in talking to my students about this is, you know, say that, look, we've been living with this declining trust, great well of cynicism, just, you know, tremendous concern about, you know, our governance in this country, the direction the country's headed, you know, all of these sort of indicators. And it's been this way for, you know, quite some time. And then all of a sudden we have this election where suddenly we have these two kind of maverick outsiders, you know, even though Bernie Sanders has been in the Senate for some time and has been, you know, active in politics most of his adult life, the reality is that, you know, he's being perceived as this kind of maverick outsider, I guess. And so it's sort of like the perfect storm. We have, you know, people who are very frustrated with the direction the country's headed, you know, concerned about governance. And then we have these two people who are saying, wait a second, you know, these two presumptive nominees, because if you think about it, you know, it used to be Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was going to be the nominee. It was going to be, you know, a repeat of the 90s. It was going to be Bush versus Clinton. And you had these two people on either side step forward and say, not so fast. You know, we're tired of these establishment politicians. And so here we are. And I think that the country was just ripe for somebody different.
Next, we go to Bernie in Elkhorn. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I'm a Sanders supporter. I will vote for Jill Stein in the general election if Hillary is the Democratic candidate. I hate Trump. I never vote Republican. But Hillary, talking about not, you know, not giving up on your ideals, Hillary doesn't represent my ideals. Mm-hmm. Her son-in-law was set up with a hedge fund by Goldman Sachs. She votes for these corporate trade deals. She helped craft the TPP, and she will vote for it if elected. She voted for the Iraq War. She's got a million dead people on her hands. On and on, Hillary is the same as people like Paul Ryan on a number of big issues. I'm not talking about reproductive choice. I'm talking about corporate and military things and the drug war. There is no way in hell I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, Bernie Sanders, I hope he doesn't get behind her, because the whole purpose of supporting a Democrat like him is because we want change. Hillary and Bill Clinton are part of the aristocracy. And if this is the way the Democrats go, we need a new third party.
And what about that, Professor Jenkins?
Great point about the third party. If there was one to emerge, this is certainly in the environment. I'd say one of the things that has surprised me so far in this race, there's been a lot that surprised me, but another thing that surprised me so far has been the fact that we don't have a viable third party option at this point. There was, of course, the announcement that Gary Johnson and William Weld were running as independents, but we'll see what happens there. But I think, you know, as your caller points out, a third party is needed, and there's certainly, I think, public sentiment for one. But I think it's just so difficult in this country to have a third party, given the kind of the structural impediments and the fact that our system is very much designed to only have two parties.
Another listener tweeted, in polls, Bernie Sanders beats Trump every time. Hillary needs his votes. The Democratic National Committee disenfranchised me. Hashtag no Hillary. All right. So, yes, we talked earlier, your poll, other polls show Bernie Sanders a stronger winning by a larger margin than Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. Some say that's because he didn't take the fire from the Republicans as much as Hillary Clinton did. What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, yes, in our poll, you know, he did do better. But the reality is that, you know, in our poll in New Jersey, which is a blue state, you know, no matter who Trump went up against, he was going to lose. So the question about, you know, whether, you know, Bernie was able to, you know, take, you know, I forget the phrase that you used, but yeah, I think that's certainly true. Bernie is considered more of a pure outsider candidate. And if that's what somebody's looking for, then Hillary Clinton's not their person. It really is Bernie.
Yeah, let's go to Jacob in Laval. Hi, Jacob.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just calling to comment on whether Sanders should stay in the race or not. And I do want to preface this with, for the first time, I voted for a Democrat in the primaries here in Wisconsin. And I did vote for Sanders, which is interesting because he doesn't support a lot of my ideals, but I thought he was authentic. And that authenticity, I think, is what is bringing a lot of the passion to mm-hmm. his side. People believe he is being honest, and that is not something a lot of people can say unequivocally about the other candidates.
Yeah, we hear that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are among the most disliked candidates ever. Maybe where do you see this race going in the fall, Professor Jenkins?
Well, I think it's probably going to be pretty ugly moving forward from what we've seen from the campaign rhetoric so far. I think, you know, obviously linking Bill Clinton's infidelities to, you know, Hillary Clinton's prospects, I think that's certainly fair game given what we've seen so far. it's going to be a long slog. The conventions are being held, you know, earlier this year in late July. I think they're both about a week, you know, apart from each other, which means that the general election campaign, I think, will start much sooner, of course. But I just think it's going to be historically ugly. That would be my prediction at this point. And I would also just like to comment on, you know, what's been interesting this past hour is just listening to the number of people who have called in and weighed in on Facebook and Twitter who are, you know, diehard supporters of Bernie Sanders. And I think that just really speaks to how unique of a campaign he waged, how much he was really able to bring people into the fold who maybe would have not been all that enthusiastic about the choices this year. So I think that's quite a remarkable feat, as you, from as you point out, you know, a 74-year-old, you know, Democratic Socialist from Vermont.
And we'll leave it there. We're going to do a sound off now. Thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Krista Jenkins, Professor of Political Science at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. Now it's time for you to sound off. Don't hang up. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Should Bernie Sanders drop out or fight to the finish? Mary in Marinette is with us. Hi, Mary. What do you think?
Hi. Good morning, Joy. Excuse me. Well, I think that if there was an actual political revolution, that Bernie would actually probably run as an independent. But I think that his actual role in the election is to usher his supporters into the Clinton camp. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have... David on Twitter, who says, if Bernie Sanders wants to make a permanent change, he should create a group to get out the vote in the midterm elections. Okay, thanks for that. We have a number of Facebook comments. You know what? I don't think we have time to take any more calls that are coming in. You can continue voting online. Our big question is online at WPR.org/joy or linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we have 59% of you saying that Bernie Sanders should fight to the finish. 37% of you say he should drop out. And 3% of you are unsure. Thanks to producers Bill Martins, Brianne Shasso, and Nyasia Ellison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.